And greetings, friends. Strange as it may seem to many of you, this age is coming to an end. Within the next several years of your life, everything around you is going to change. For our Creator, the great God, will begin to intervene powerfully in human affairs. My friends, we are now on a countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Laugh if you will, but the ultimate reality is what your Creator has done, is doing, and will do. Awesome events will soon begin to occur as a precursor of Christ's return as King of Kings. In this program, I will now give you some of those events you need to understand. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Roderick C. Meredith discusses Countdown to Christ's Second Coming. And now, Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, over the next several years, you will witness the massive decline of the United States as the preeminent world power. You will begin to see that in the headlines. You will see Britain is getting pushed out or brought out of the European Union. These two enormously important events will affect your life more than you can now realize. Also, you will see big changes in the weather and the beginning of massive disease epidemics and earthquakes on an unprecedented scale. Remember the terrible tsunami that killed nearly 300,000 people last December? My friends, that was just a precursor of far worse things to come. Yes, I'm sticking my neck out to say that. I know that. But I am talking about the soon coming reality of God's intervention in world affairs. Did you know, my friends, that 1/4 of the entire Bible is devoted to prophecy? Most ministers just talk about Jesus, giving your heart to Jesus and all this. No, that 1/4 of the Bible is seldom or never mentioned in mainstream church denominations. But notice what Jesus Christ said about the years just ahead in your life. This is part of the gospel. For as we read, Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Your Bible says that. And we have to understand that. That's a vital part of his message. 1/4 of the Bible devoted to prophecy. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, called the Olivet Prophecy, because this is where Jesus began to tell about the end of the age, speaking from the Mount of Olives. Notice, Matthew 24, verse 3. Now, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" They were not asking about 70 A.D. or the fall of the temple. They were asking about the end of the age. And Jesus answered and said, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name." Many ministers, many teachers, many writers come in Jesus' name. They all use Jesus' name for all their different conflicting ideas. He said, "Many will come," Jesus was talking, "and use my name." They will use the name of Jesus. Will they deceive a few oddballs out in a cave somewhere? No. Many will come in my name, saying, "I am the Christ," and will deceive many. They talk about him, but they don't mention what he said. They don't tell you about his complete message. They leave out vast portions of what Jesus said. They will deceive the many, not the few. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For a nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines. There have always been famines. So obviously Jesus is talking about famine and pestilence on a different scale. Famines and pestilences. Pestilences are terrible disease epidemics. and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And then notice down here in verse 21, he says, and pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath, for then will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, the time of this coming tribulation on this earth, Jesus said, no flesh would be saved. Mankind would annihilate itself from off this planet. Not one human being would be saved. This could not have happened in past ages. Just in the last several years, we've had this capacity to annihilate all humans from off the earth. We are in the prophesied time of the end, according to Jesus Christ. No flesh would be saved alive, as some translate it, because that's what it's talking about, not spiritual salvation, but annihilation. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. God will intervene at the last minute to save humanity from itself. My friends, think of the weapons of mass destruction. Right now, in the hands of third world countries such as Iran and North Korea, this threat is very real. Millions of Americans, Canadians, or Britons could be killed in a matter of minutes. You know that, but you don't think about it as often because it hasn't happened, and we've been talking about it, and the news people have been talking about it for the last few decades. Now, notice this statement, my friends, from Fred Ikla, an Undersecretary of Defense under President Reagan. Quote, these problems will not go away, he writes. The worldwide proliferation of weapons of mass destruction capabilities can be slowed down, but it cannot be stopped. It is high time that our body politic took this unpleasant fact on board. The globalization of science and technology will gradually but ineluctably spread the wherewithal for building mass destruction weapons. We are thus fated to confront a threat of a kind we have never faced before, to cause mass casualties far exceeding those of 9/11. An enemy could send just one competent and trustworthy courier, someone not on America's long list of suspects, with a few vials of an easily dispersible biological agent that would propagate into a pandemic. Or if the enemy's choice of weapons of mass destruction were nuclear, two smuggled bombs could inflict on American society an unimaginable social, political, and economic disaster. Should we be so fortunate as to receive tactical intelligence of either of these kinds of attack, it would either be due to immense stupidity for the enemy or an improbable stroke of luck. End of quotation from the Wall Street Journal, April 1, 2005. My friends, do you want to depend on a stroke of luck for your protection or on the great God who gives us life and breath? Notice now what the Gospel of Luke tells us. Notice Luke 21, beginning in verse 7. And they ask him, saying, Teacher, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place? And he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many will come in my name. Yes, the many, not the few. You say, well, you're just a small group. Yes, but the many are going to be deceived. Your Bible says over and over and over. Think about that. That's for your good. Think about it. Pray about it. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he. They'll tell you Jesus is Christ. And the time has drawn near, therefore don't go after them. And when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. You're not supposed to be terrified. You need to know what God says and trust God. For these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights, and here the Greek is normally translated terrors or terrorism. There's going to be terrorism. Yes, Jesus said so. Think about that. We've already entered into that era. And there will be fearful sights or terrors and great signs from heaven. These things are beginning to happen. Think about it. Pray about it. Understand. Be willing to act on what God says, my friends. At this point, I invite you to call or write for one of the most meaningful prophetic booklets ever written. This booklet is entitled 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. It will be sent absolutely free upon your request. This very helpful booklet gives you specific things to watch for. Just ask for the booklet on 14 signs. That's all you need.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic, my friends. Countdown to Christ's second coming. Notice Luke chapter 21 again. I'm going to begin here, just starting in verse 11. And there will be great earthquakes, Jesus said. You remember at the end of this section we were reading. Great earthquakes are just ahead. Bigger earthquakes than you have ever experienced or heard about. Jesus said, great earthquakes in various places, famines, lack of food. And this is going to be not just off in Bangladesh or somewhere, but frankly, it's going to begin to be right here in the United States, Canada, Britain, Australia, New Zealand, and among the English-speaking peoples of the world, believe it or not, terrible famines. And they're going to be then pestilences, disease epidemics are going to start, such as have never taken place, and there will be then terrors. Fearful sights, or the Greek word is normally translated, terrible things, or terrors, terrorism. We're already entered into that era, and we need to understand, you need to understand, for your sake, we have entered into a different time, my friends. You are living in the prophesied time of the end. Now let's notice what the prophet Jeremiah predicted. Jesus quoted from Jeremiah as inspired scripture. He said to live by every word of God. It is part of the Bible. And as we read this, remember this applies to us, as I'll explain to you. And as we read this in Jeremiah, picture what happened to the World Trade Center. Picture the worst thing ever to hit the United States in decades. Dare we assume that this kind of thing won't happen again? We must not be so terribly naive, my friends. Understand, these things, many more such things, lie ahead. Now turn to Jeremiah 30 in your Bible, part of the inspired Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 30, beginning in verse 4. Now these are the words the Eternal spoke, the ever-living One spoke concerning Israel and Judah. Judah was just part, one tribe of the 12. This prophecy affects all of us. For thus says the ever-living one, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins, like a woman in labor, and all faces turn pale? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble. The time of Jacob's trouble, this terrible trouble, happens when? It shall come to pass in that time, the Word of God tells us, that I will break his yoke, a yoke of slavery, from your neck, and will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them. So the modern descendants of the house of Israel go into a national slavery and captivity at the time of the end. That is going to happen. But they shall serve, as Christ comes back as King of Kings and delivers them, they shall serve the Eternal their God and David their King, whom I will raise up to them. Oh, here it is. It's at the time of the end. David is going to be resurrected. It's the time of the resurrection from the dead. This time of Jacob's trouble, this great tribulation is just ahead of us. at the prophesied time of the end. Why is God letting these things happen to our peoples? Why would God do that? Well, verses 14 and 15 tell you why. Notice here, he says, all your lovers, uses the term allies in Moffat and elsewhere, our national lovers, our allies, have forgotten you. They do not seek you, for I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy and with the chastisement of a cruel one. Why? For the multitude of your iniquities, all of our sins, our murder of all these little unborn babies, up over 40 million of them, little babies having their skulls crushed in our so-called civilization, our so-called Christian civilization, all of these things that are happening, the abortions, the perverted sex practices, the wild living, the people condemning God and kicking God out of the public square, not even permitting the Ten Commandments to be displayed, all this kind of thing, and the wild living based on hedonism, just doing whatever you feel like it, if it breaks God's law or not. People turning away from God en masse because your sins have increased. He says, why do you cry about your affliction? You say, well, why is God letting these things happen as these things begin to happen to us? Your sorrow is incurable because of the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased. I have done these things to you. He says prophetically because he knows it's going to happen. Now, does it have to happen to you? No. Each of us individually could repent. Our nations could repent, but God indicates, frankly, they won't. You know that. We are not going to have a national repentance, you know, like some people had in centuries past, where the whole city of Nineveh fasted before God when Jonah came. You know that. That's not going to happen. I wish it would, but we are not having that kind of heartfelt repentance before the great God. Now, one major reason, my friends, that God will punish us is false religion. False religion leads to this kind of hedonistic lifestyle that makes God just seem sentimental and way off. Notice what Jesus Christ himself warned about this. Jesus said, turn to Matthew chapter 7 in your New Testament, Matthew chapter 7, and beginning in verse 21, right near the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Prophesy often includes preaching in the Greek. So they said, we preached in Jesus' name. Yes, they have. Cast out demons in your name. And they have done many wonders in your name. They built hospitals and homes for unwed mothers, but they haven't taught the way of life that would prevent the spiritual and physical sickness that is sweeping our peoples. That's the problem. They're dealing with the effect and not the cause. And what is the cause? I'll explain in a moment. Notice verse 23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. You thought you were my servants, but I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And that's the way it's translated in the New King James. Correctly so. It comes from the Greek word anomos, against law. Many modern religious leaders have rejected God's great spiritual law of the Ten Commandments. They say that Paul did away with them, or Christ did away with them, and you don't have to literally keep them. And so they're getting them out of our society, getting them out of the public square, and they never did really fully understand them in the first place. Now, notice what lies just ahead because of false religion. Notice this powerful warning given by the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and beginning in verse 1. Paul writes, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind. Don't be upset or troubled either by spirit, some demon spirit, or by word or letter, as if from us, false letters coming in Paul's name, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away, the great apostasy, comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, or means the son of destruction. Who is this man? Who opposes and exalts himself, notice, above all that is called God, so that he is worshiped, and he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He takes titles. He takes prerogatives that belong to God alone. He's an exalted man. People begin to virtually worship him, bow down before him in a way that they would to some god or demigod. This is the coming great false prophet. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? He warned them about it in person in detail. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness, here it is again, the Greek word anomos, against law. It's a mystery system. They brought in the old Babylonian practices of the priests and the bells and the tinkling cymbals and everything else. The whole system is being recreated and going to be recreated even more at the time of the end. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. Apparently, Paul himself was restraining at that time. That's just my conjecture. We don't know who that was. And then the lawless one will be revealed. This coming man that was going to come in and create a false Christianity, which happened, frankly, during the Dark Ages, and the final one is revealed powerfully at the very end. The lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. All this comes right up to Christ's coming, you see. The next several years of your life, you're going to see a powerful figure come on the scene. And notice what he's going to do. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The truth is a powerful thing. Most people don't have the love of the truth. They want to go along with the society. They don't want to get in trouble with their friends or their job or their this or their that. For your good, my friends, learn to seek the truth. And for this reason, because they don't love the truth, God will send them strong delusion. It's coming. It's coming that they should believe the lie, that they all might be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. For your good, follow the truth. Think about it. Pray about it. Follow the truth. Again, my friends, be sure to call us or write us now for your free copy of this wonderful, powerful booklet, 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. 14 signs announcing Christ's return. It will be sent absolutely free upon your request. Just ask for the booklet on 14 signs. That's all you need.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Finally, my friends, you must not get into anxious fear because of the perilous times just ahead. You must learn to believe what God's Word actually says. And you must learn to be willing to obey what God's Word actually says. Then you will have protection, as I will show you. God will protect you, guide you, bless you. Now turn to Luke 21 again. Luke 21, beginning in verse 28. Now when these things begin to happen, when the drought, famine, disease epidemics, terrible earthquakes, and all the rest begins to happen. Now when it finishes, when it begins to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Don't be afraid or fearful. Just give your life to God. Obey God. Do what God says. Ask Christ to come into your life, not sentimentally, but to rule you, to guide you in what you do day and night. Lift up your heads then and be grateful, because your redemption draws near. And he spoke a parable. Look at the fig tree and think about when it's ready to bud. You know then that summer is near. So likewise, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. It's very near, my friends. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation, we're in that generation now. This generation will not pass away till all things are fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. Boy, can we get involved in the cares of this life. Think about it. Bogged down with all of that. Think about it. So don't get carried away with carousing or the cares of this life, that day come upon you unexpectedly. It doesn't need to come on you. People say, well, we have no idea when Christ is going to come. Well, that's because they're biblically ignorant. They're not watching the 14 signs announcing Christ's return. No, we don't know the day or the hour, but we sure should know within several years and getting toward the end, the very few years, when Christ is going to come. God tells us not to be ignorant of that day. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. The vast majority of people are going to be deceived, mixed up, confused. They won't know. Then Jesus tells us, watch therefore. You're to watch these things. You, my friends, are to watch world events. Be aware. Be realizing that Christ is real, that God is real. He's intervened powerfully in world affairs. Watch and pray always. Ask God for help, that you may be accounted worthy to escape. There is a way to escape. To escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And so, my friends, we do need to watch and to pray and be aware of the intervention of the great God. We're on a countdown to Christ's second coming. So tune in every week to Tomorrow's World program. On this program, you will gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames and John and Gwen and I will give you understanding of these events that are beginning to happen and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. All the literature offered on today's program can be ordered absolutely free off our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.